Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
That's an essential thing for me. I really appreciate airplanes that give you Wi-Fi so that you can log in, because I get kind of restless on a long journey and I don't like to be confined in a small space. So it's really nice for me to go ahead and just turn on my device, and I can kind of see where I'm not going to Las Vegas there. I just grabbed that off the, just kind of look like, yeah, no, I think actually it's, yeah. Anyway, I really enjoy it because it's good. It's encouraging when you're on a long trip to be reminded that you're getting closer to the destination. That's an important thing. But it's also nice to see how far you come. That's a good principle. I appreciate seeing those things. And both of those can be sources of encouragement and inspiration on our journey. Consider the person who's trying to go through weight loss. They always tell them you need to track your progress. You need to make sure that you look at these things to see if the plans are working, or if they need to be altered, or if something needs to change. In our physical health, many of us not only monitor our weight, but monitor our blood pressure, monitor our blood sugar, for instance, some other points of blood chemistry. And you can monitor them, you can keep check on them, and if something gets off course, you can find changes and get back on course. And it's certainly unwise to avoid things that you don't want to get the results of now, isn't it? Some of us just stay away from the scale because we don't like that it ruins our day, and that's not a very wise thing. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who struggle with their blood pressure. I ask them, well, have you checked it? No, I never check that. It just makes me mad when I see the reason. Well, no, you're missing the thing. It's important to have checkups. It's important to find your benchmarks, to find where you are. And I believe, I truly do believe, gang, that the same should be true for our spiritual walk. It's critical that we keep an eye on where we are going. And keeping an eye on our destination is something that Christ followers have been doing throughout the years. We can track this all the way back to the early church and even Jesus himself. I mean, consider the words of Scripture that tell us that Jesus kept his eye on the prize of the high calling. He kept his eye on the joy set before him, so he endured suffering in the cross. So along with keeping an eye on our destiny, we should also be aware from where we have come, and even be willing to do some honest evaluations along the way. And sadly, like many of our health issues, we can fall prey, pardon the pun, to avoiding honest evaluations of our spiritual health. So we're starting a new series, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking in the book of Philippians, and we're going to frame our discussions around this question for the next several weeks. Where will I be? Now, I'm not just talking about in heaven, which is a great thing, and we should be reminding ourselves of our eternal destiny, but I think that we need to be somewhat mindful of our future here on earth, of where God has called us, of what God has called us not to do, but who we should be. And sadly, many Christians refuse to set spiritual goals. I think spiritual goals are very, very, very important. And without them, to be honest, when we don't have spiritual goals, we can fall into ruts and we can cease to grow. How many have seen that happen in their lives? Right? Okay, good. Not good. That didn't come out right. I mean, bad. In our discussions, we're going to see over these next few weeks several ideas that Paul uses to encourage the church that he planted to continue to grow in Christ. But for today, we've got a ton of scripture that we're going to read today. Hang on. But we're going to set the background and then just a couple of quick points at the very end as we just launch into probably just the first few verses of the book of Philippians. So if you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Philippians. If you don't have a Bible, Bible, but you have a smartphone, feel free to download the free app, YouVersion. I get no kickbacks for saying that, but it's just something that we use here at the church and with the youth group. It's a very, very easy to app. If you want to get in your pew Bible, we're going to be in page 1719, but we're going to be reading from the ESV, and that's a different translation that we have in our pew Bibles. We are working to update those. And then we're going to be in Philippians 1, which is page 1822 in your pew Bibles, or look for that on your app. So let's start with the city of Philippi, because I think a lot of us, we're pretty ignorant. Where in the world are we talking about? We have kind of a little map here, and if you look up, the city of Philippi is in northeastern Greece here, kind of right up in the Attica area. At this time, it was Macedonia. Now, Paul arrived there around 49 AD, and he was on his second missionary journey. He was joined by Silas and then a little later by Timothy and Luke. So he had this pretty powerful group of individuals going together. And this, when, by the time Paul arrived, it had been an ancient city with a storied history. It got its name, all the way back in 356, BCE, where Philip II, who was actually the father of Alexander the Great, surely you've heard of him, took over the city and named it after himself. And he eventually established it as a military stronghold. So it had forever been a strong city with a military background. In 68 BC, Philippi became part of the Roman Empire when it was taken over from the Persians. And what happened was something very interesting. And I know right now we hear all about these tax incentives, but we actually had the same type of thing. The Roman government decided to give tax incentives to retired soldiers. And so retired soldiers could avoid paying poll taxes and certain other taxes if they would retire. And so they set up a very strong Roman military presence. It was a very Romanesque city. They were very loyal to the emperor. So again, a lot of retired soldiers there. It was a strong military outpost as well. And so how did Paul get there? You know, what happened here? Because he set off on his second missionary journey with the intention to go revisit the churches that he had visited. And so we're going to read about that in Acts chapter 16. So I've got just a couple pictures here because it's a lot of scripture, and just kind of go ahead and just focus in on that and listen to the story because it really is a great story. I'll try to read it in a way that will keep your attention, but it's an awful lot of scripture. This is Acts 16, 9 through 40. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage. And it continues to tell of the journey in which they got there. And it says they arrived in the district of Macedonia in a Roman colony, and we remained in the city some days. And on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Verse 14, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. And as that's the next one there, and then we're even going to the third one there. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, who brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed. I like Paul. I think we can kind of say a lot of things about Paul. Paul became greatly annoyed. He turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and are disturbing our city." They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept and practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, where would you be about now? About now. What do we do when God lays something on our heart? Because if God lays something on our heart, doesn't that mean that the way is supposed to be without any opposition or obstacles? I guarantee you, this is how we operate, because I know you're, look, I'm one of you now. I talk like you. I'm a Pike Tuckian the whole through and through. That when we get going and we assume that God has called something, why is it that we don't expect there's any opposition? And why, when opposition comes, is our immediate thought that somehow we're on the wrong journey? I mean, certainly God can speak through circumstances. And certainly God shut some doors on their journey to go other directions on this missionary trip. But he was leading them. And you can be right in the middle of the path of God. And that does not mean that you're not going to have opposition. It does not mean you're not going to have difficulties. It doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter hardships. And what we find here, it doesn't even mean that your freedoms might come into question, be taken away. It's a difficult thing for Paul here. But I love Paul's response. I think it's something that we can learn from. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want you to know, when you're going through your difficult time, there are people listening to what's coming out your mouth. When you're going through your hard time, I mean your hard time, there are people around who are other prisoners who are listening. And they're listening to your confession. They're listening to what's coming out, because it reflects the condition of our heart. And so what Paul and Silas, as they began singing and praising and worshiping, it says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. This is a miracle. And when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm telling you what, this guy's salvation, the salvation to his house, doesn't happen unless they go to jail. Some of your rough times may have been orchestrated to put you in the place so that your confession of faith has an effect on those around you. Come on here. Verse 31, and they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all their household. And they took them the same hour of the night, and they washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And they rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Now, here's where I like the boldness of Paul. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out and go in peace." But Paul said to him, "They've beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they want to throw us out secretly?" No. Think about this guy. "We're going to let you go free." No, it ain't going to be that easy. Nope. "Let them come themselves and take us out." And the police reported these words to the magistrates. And then they were afraid when they heard they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized. Man, think about Paul. What you did, now that he's going to make them apologize. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out and they visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Okay, right there is the beginning. Now, we just have a family. We have a group of people who've heard this, but those individuals continued to do the work of the gospel, exactly what they had seen of Paul. And they suffered the same persecutions of Paul. Just like Paul was resisted from the Romans and struggled with these Roman citizens who were so patriotic. And they look, we can't do these things. Your culture doesn't meet with our culture. And gang, if we don't see the similarities now, we need to hold on to the truths of the gospel, to hold on to the character of God, even when our culture is circling the toilet. And we need to stand and proclaim God's truth. Brothers and sisters, Paul is in prison, and so Paul continues on. He's released, and this has a profound impact. And perhaps this is why this became of one of Paul's favorite churches, the church in Philippi. So Paul continues his ministry. We read throughout the book of Acts. He ends up in prison, and the church of Philippi gets word of this, and they send him an offering. Delivered by a man named Epaphroditus. And he basically is he gets wounded and he's ill on his journey. And he's nearly to death when he brings Paul not only a letter, but an offering of support. And so Paul writes them back this letter. So I wanted, because we really do need to know the background. That's the background of how the church began in Philippi. And so now let's get into just the first couple of verses here. Look in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Let's all read this together, gang. One, two, ready? Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, okay. Well, what are you going to say about that? Well, this is actually kind of profound, because if you look at a lot of Paul's writings, Paul begins many of his letters with, I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so something else is happening here that we see that a lot of times we read and we jump right over. The first two words are what? Paul and Timothy. And here's my point. If you want to grow, and if we need to have a 5-year plan, and if we're looking at where we are going, there is something that we can't avoid. And that's it. If you want to grow, mentorship leads to spiritual growth. Paul and Timothy, there was a special relationship that was forged. And this relationship was beautiful. And if we think it doesn't apply to us here today, you're wrong. Look, God has given me responsibility to serve here and to serve you and to walk with you and grow with you, not to grow for you. And I continue to have individuals who I lean on. I'm so glad that Pastor Rick could be with us here today. Because you think, I readily accept spiritual voices to pour into me. And he knows. I called you many times. Look, hey, this is what I'm thinking of preaching. I bounce things off. When I'm going through hard times, I reach out. It's what a beautiful thing that God did today. It's almost like He knows better than us. And so for us, for this to happen, look, are we willing to submit and relationally learn from another? Are we willing to open ourselves up and say, look, here it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here is really where I'm at in my thoughts, in my intents, in my struggles, in my fears. Because for far too long, church, and I use the word kind of hesitantly, what we call church, I don't really think is a great reflection of church. Because what we see in the early church, and at least churches that are growing, is there is this embracing of mentorship. And that also means to those of us who've been around the track a few times and we think, well, our place now is to just kind of wait till, I'm going to sit down and rest a while till my good Lord calls me. I think some of us need a little kick in the rump. Do you still have breath? Then God has a purpose for you. I've had a long conversation with several of my pastor friends that is retirement a biblical concept. We're just not there. I mean, certainly I get there's a time to some people can't do hard things and as they grow, but truth, I don't know what I would do. I've had conversations with my wife. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't serving the Lord. Whether I get paid or not, I'm going to serve the Lord because that's part of who I am and called. So that means that for those of us who've been around the track a few times, are we willing to make the commitment to invest in others? That means letting other people invade your comfort zone. And some of us, we work so hard to build up our castles and our families and our nest eggs and everything and secure our fences around our house to say that we can't welcome in our brothers and sisters and have them be part of our lives. We can see them Sunday morning and then ask, oh, how are you doing? Fine. Good. Gang, mentorship leads to spiritual growth. I've heard it said many times, look, if you really want to be balanced as a Christian, if you really want to grow, you need to have a Paul in your life who's mentoring you. You need to have a Timothy in your life who you are pouring into. And you need to have a Barnabas in your life or a Silas who's walking with you along the journey. And if you don't have those individuals, life's going to be pretty hard. Are you being mentored? Or, like so many of us, I don't need to be mentored anymore. I'm going to tell you this. Okay, hey. I don't know where you are, but I know where I am. I still need it. I still need, spiritually, wherever you are in your other parts, I have no way to say. But spiritually, I still need to be mentored, continually mentored. And some of you are like, yes, Pastor, you really need mentored. Shame on you. All right, let's continue on. Verses 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your, what's that next word? Partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Look, gang, the truth is, and I mentioned it just a few moments ago, as a pastor, I'm not called to do your spiritual work for you, am I? And sadly, that's the culture of a lot of churches, is we pay some dude to do the spiritual things for us. If I'm doing my job correctly, I'm empowering you so that we all have partnership in the gospel. Can I get an amen to that? So my second point, as followers in Jesus Christ, we have a partnership in the gospel. And so my second point for us is this. We have to see that the gospel came to us, not just to save us, but to empower us to serve. So it's point two. Living a life of faithfulness to the gospel helps us grow. You need to see the gospel as your responsibility. It is my responsibility, but it's also yours. And so therefore, it is ours. And when we do not embrace our calling, when we're ashamed of the gospel, it is no longer the power of God to salvation to other people believe because we refuse to share it. But Paul says, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he knows it is the power of Jesus Christ to save. It's the power there. So your life has a mission. And do you view your life as being a partner in the gospel? Well, that's why I think Paul loves this church so much. In so many other churches, he's saying, look, I've heard this about you. I've heard this about you. Oh, come on, come on, come on. And yet here in this church that is in a position, it's a Roman governmental stronghold. There's people resistant to the gospel, and yet they're faithful, and they view their walk with Christ as being in a partnership. And all of this began in a pretty rough way. Think about a successful church launch. The minister ends up in the county jail the first day. How is that going to work? Real successful church launch there. I dare say that Lydia would be like, so how much of our tithe and offering is going to go to bail money? Is this going to be a really effective use? You know, we're coming up on contract time again in budget talks. How much of our budget needs to go from bailing me out for bail bonds? That would be an interesting question. All right, look, let me put it like this, because something that affects a lot of us here, and a lot of us have battled, and a lot of us have had victory over, and we've lost dear friends. If you had the cure to cancer, would you sit around each and every day and just hold it to yourself? And yet we have the gospel, the power of God for the salvation, and we refuse to share it? Really? Which brings the question, do we believe it? Look, all of us in the room are called as partners in the gospel. Now let's wrap this up. Philippians 1:7. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of Christ, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Man, this is a dripping love letter. I don't get very many letters like this. I mean, this is something. It's like, look, this is what you do. Look, I'm so impressed with how you have done. So where are you going with this, Pastor? Look, they weren't just sitting there. There was a deep expression of unity. This is a close relationship. He's expressing that they were committed on this journey together. They didn't just say, wow, Paul said some cool stuff. They didn't say, wow, church was good today because I was entertained by the message or I was entertained by the messenger. They took the truths and they were applying them in their lives. So here's my final point for us. And again, they've been very quick points here today, is this. Participation in the church brings growth. Learn from your leaders, but do not worship them. And to what extent is participation in the church? That means being a part of the community. And so many people I know, and we make it so easy in this day and age of digital media to just stick one toe in and not be fully committed and participate. You know what's going to help you grow is walking with one another in close relationships. So grow, and what this brings when we walk and when we participate as part of the church together is we grow in love, we grow in knowledge, and we grow in discernment. There's a great bonding that happens when we're hanging speakers and when we're painting things and we're pulling nails and when we're going to serve and bringing food to the hungry or we're reaching out or doing mission trips. There's a great camaraderie that comes from those experiences. When we go to the seniors' home, when we get together to Christmas carol, and we just rocking the joint out, and we're all together, those are elements. Be committed and participate in your church, in the church. Get involved, join in, and get deep and effective, intentional relationship with others. So just for a moment, in your bulletin, I've written down a couple questions for you. Okay, a couple questions in the notes section of your message. Where do I feel God wants me in 5 years? I want you to give some time this week to think about that. And look, if you say, I have absolutely no idea, I want you to start praying about it. Look, we can have a 5-year plan in our finances, a 5-year plan in our relationships. I don't think it's not like God to give us an idea. And then that might not be. Maybe it's just moving that direction. I guarantee you this. God at the very beginning didn't say, go be a pastor, because I would have gone the other direction. But he gave me a beginning. And along that journey, he continues. And I have a plan. And then the next question is a hard one. Am I continuing to grow? Really? In what ways have I grown in the last year? I want you to think about it. Not GR, you know, not groaning. To growing. In what ways have you grown in the past year? And if you can't say, I don't know how I've grown in the past year. I want that to be kind of like the guy who puts a blood pressure cuff on and it blows up. That should be a warning sign, a checkup. That's the guy who says, I haven't checked my weight in a long time. What? There's an extra zero. Where did that come from? This is it, gang. We need to do some monitoring, some inward consideration. And finally, in what ways can these, because I think these 3 points are a good beginning to help us get on track and start to grow spiritually. Amen? This is going to be a great journey over the next several weeks. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray together.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Off for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.